Hey, what's up, folks? Thanks for joining us for the 337th edition of This Week in Mormons. We are glad you are here, and that's a big number. So, welcome.
We have two things to discuss with you today. First, thank you for being here. Second, look
first,
at our big number.
First, we're going to jump into our Bill O'Reilly self-congratulatory. Yeah, exactly. That's what we have to do. I beat them all. I'm the best.
Ladies, have you happened to see our number 337?
Mm-hmm. You know, if any of you listening, I don't know, do you think any of our listeners have been there since the beginning? I feel like we had a lot back in the day, you know, people trail off, new ones come in. I wonder if we cycle
through them.
I wonder if we have any lifers.
No, we may be the only ones. 337
hours. I haven't even listened to every single show. I record these and I'm done with them and don't think about them ever again. So,
how many days is 337 hours?
How many days?
337 episodes at an hour apiece divided by 24. 14 days of your life would have been spent listening to this show.
Ish. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe someday I'll get bored and do the math, judging by the exact lengths of each episode, and really calculate how much audio we've pumped out.
I'm going to guess you're still going to come into right around 14
days.
Yeah,
I'm pulling for you on that one, buddy. Pulling for you. That's what I think, too. Either way, how lucky are you, dear listener, to be here with us as we grace you with our presence and our intellect and our
and humor. Our huge number, 337.
Yeah. Yeah. Show me the other show that has that. Oh, what's that? John Delin, you say?
No, he doesn't have 337 on
his
side.
He very well might. He's been around for a long time. But you know what? He also does it full time. So
we may not be as good as this other person, but
for
we are a more Mormon pro show.
We're pro Mormon. And if you
favor your testimony, we have that going for us.
And if you judge this on the merits of it being something we do on the side, I feel like that's like a handicap in a way.
He probably gets more hard-hitting interviews, yes.
Perhaps.
But does he make you laugh? Does he have his own jingles that he gets written as great comedy troops?
Of course not. No.
Yeah! It's the original Mormon News Podcast!
Which, folks, you can buy on iTunes. So if you're interested.
Have we ever made a dollar on that?
We've made some money off of it.
Thank you, people.
$1, people, and you can have the whole song. I just think about that. And it's available on all the usual outlets.
When does that loop into the song lineup and make you happy? Right? You're never like, oh man, hey, dude, can you play that jingle? The This Week in Mormons intro?
It's because it's barely beyond a jingle, because it's about a minute and a half long, so it's almost longer than typical jingle length, so I'm going to give it credit for being a full-blown song.
It's our original LP.
Mormon this, Mormon that.
I love our lives so much. I feel like we give so much to this community.
The legacy we're going to have to show to our children and grandchildren. Kids?
Sit down. 14 days from now, you can get up once you listen to everything.
Tell me what you think. No, you can't sleep. No. The show only gets better the more sleep-deprived you are. That's what keeps it entertaining.
Yeah. No, this is the Taco Bell for Mormons, if you will.
Explain this metaphor for me.
Taco Bell gets better the later it is. Oh, okay. It's 3 in the morning. You're feeling like, man, that Doritos Locos is a really good idea. You go down there, you get some 7-layer burrito, and it's actually delicious. You go at 5 in the afternoon.
Yes. Not good.
It's a huge mistake.
Yeah, it's terrible. Some food's only meant to be consumed late at night.
Ergo, we are the Taco Bell of Mormanity.
I'll accept that. I wonder what happened to the old Mormanity blog. Just check that out. I wonder if he's still around. We like that guy.
What are you doing now, buddy? Hey, you've been watching this Republican National Convention, Jeff?
It's important that we take a break from hate and fear 2016 to bring you this show. Though it's very exciting, the programming.
That thing was crazy day one.
Day one was some killer political theater, man. That was Sorkin-esque. It was getting real. If only it would have happened. Just think about what could have been. If
President Bartlett would have come in there with Leo.
If people could have voted differently, and this is just for my entertainment, and not secured Trump with delegates before the convention, we could have had a floor fight between Cruz, Kasich, and Trump to really going out to try to win the hearts and minds of people. How exciting would that be? We wouldn't have all these canned speeches from random friends and family of Donald Trump because he wouldn't be the presumptive nominee yet. You would have a very, very different convention, my friend. It would be exciting.
Can we still get it? Somebody's got to unnominate Donald Trump.
He hasn't accepted yet. That's the only thing that we have going for us. But I'm just saying, if we did that, we wouldn't have had Scott Baio or the guy from Duck Dynasty. So
we had, was it Phil? Phil from Duck Dynasty?
I don't know. It's just one guy gets up there and
Willie?
Talks. I think it might have been Willie.
He's a Trumper.
Well, they all are. Who's not? So anyway, yeah, that's an exciting
one. I continue to be surprised. Trump fans are getting more and more bold about coming out of the shadows, it seems. My Facebook feed, I thought I had no Trump supporters. I was like, why would it? I quit sharing the things that are like, hey, people, we can't support Trump. This is crazy. Because I was like, man, nobody in my circle is a believer in Trump. And then I do have quite a bit. There may be Trump supporters on this show.
No, there really are. I feel like many of them have also surfaced on the TWIM Facebook page.
I thought we were safe to make jokes about him still.
So did I. I think the people who make the comments don't listen to our show. We have a number of Facebook followers who don't bother with the podcast and therefore do not know our personalities as well and assume that our page is just an outlet for Mormon.
Wait, what was one that we did? What happened? Give me an interaction.
Nothing in particular. You can just kind of tell just based on the comments. Sometimes, admittedly, the demographics, as in older people who are on Facebook and think everything is a genuine. They don't see the sarcasm. They don't have the voice in their head of us posting stuff with a wink and a nod and that kind of stuff, right? Which is okay. But then you realize, like, okay, folks, you need to just relax a little bit. You know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And so I mean, bless these people. Bless them.
Bless them with everything.
Bless
that
their
we have.
Hearts.
They are the salt of the earth, but they do defend Trump. I think as you get older, too, once you pick a candidate, I mean, regardless of Trump or not, whoever your candidate is over 60, you just want the world to know, and you want, like, all you have is to pick fights at that point. My grandparents will fight much more with people about random politics. Obama, I think they genuinely thought Obama was Satan. I'm not sure.
I think people still do believe. Yes.
There's a lot of that out there. And they're just like, they want to fight about it. They want to pick fights. They're like a bully on a school yard.
It's like me when people make, you know, grammatical errors on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. You with the comma? Oh, my gosh. Oh, Jeff, would you let it go?
The Oxford comma is an important part of speech. I do not agree with
people,
AP
you should
style.
See Jeff when he decides a semicolon was the appropriate use. It is like, something is burning. I don't have a good burning word. Sorry, I'm eating Jelly Bellies. This is a bad idea. It's very quiet once I get it going. This is appropriate for radio.
This reminds me, years ago, when I was a young lad, I remember I went and saw Home Alone at the local theater. And I ripped open my bag of Skittles. And this is pre-stadium seating, right? So, you know, just a nice broad slope in the movie theater. And I ripped it open too hard, busted the whole thing open. All the Skittles went flying out. And for about a solid minute, the shimmering sound of Skittles.
All the way down the...
Just slowly making their way all the way to about where the screen was. Just it drowned out the entire film. I don't know what happened during that minute of the movie. I imagine Marv got hurt somehow. Usually that's what happens in those movies. But I remember it well. Embarrassment. That's one of my earlier memories of being straight up embarrassed.
Where he's like, no, nobody can look at me. This is embarrassing. Yeah, you set a bottle down and it tips and then it just rolls and rolls and rolls. I'm like, please, nobody look at me.
I mean, the upside is stadium seating mollifies that a little bit, right? Because, you know, you drop some stuff. It might
then you
go
have the
down
dramatic,
level.
Boom.
It might go kaboom, kaboom, but I think more often the chances are it's just going to stop because there are more obstacles in the way.
Thankfully.
Another good reason to have stadium seating.
Jeff, how's your life this week?
My life this week is just dandy.
Your son is a year and 1 week old.
I'm no longer sick. My son is a year and a week old. Blessings all around, my good friend.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov.
Saved my life. I can't tell you what I've done for the past week other than work and such. I don't know anything else that went on. I went to the pool, apparently. According to my wife, I went to the pool and I ate some Costco pizza. That's what I did on Saturday. I took my boy in the pool, and he does not care. He's not enthused about the pool.
I've adopted a sort of midnight swim routine with some of my buddies back in Missouri. And we go out to the pond.
Al, you're in your 30s. You know
about this. 10:30, 11. Well, we sing cake all the way out there. It's like we're back in high school.
Okay. Right.
And then we go and dive in the pond and sit and talk of life and then drive back in. It's quite nice. There's a fish which we've affectionately deemed the nipple fish that lives in there. It's a biting fish. And you can see that, I mean, on YouTube every now and then you see a fish similarly attractive, but it's out there and it makes for those nights fun. Now, for a long time, people just thought that was a fish I made up so I could take girls in there, but it's not true. It's not true at all. There's a real fish.
I do not know where this show would be without your tales of random...
There's a real fish in there. And
Midwestern nonsense.
And it bites one's pectoral regions, and it is it's quite scary. Quite scary.
Do you find it's attracted to different sizes or colors or anything, or is it really just equal opportunity?
You know, I tried to test it, but unfortunately I only have one set of nipples, and that's all I know. That's all the data I have.
Yeah, sure.
And I haven't done a very scientific comparison of me to my nieces and nephews and brothers and uncles.
Well, I don't know what you're doing with your time. That's what you should be doing, clearly.
I'll work on it, but it does not deter me from spending time in that pond. I think that pond is great.
Is that the same pond where you did the blob?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So basically, there is one pond in Missouri that is just game changer on every level, is what you're saying. Yeah. All the important moments of your life have happened at that pond.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
You might get I hope that your wedding reception is in front of that pond, right in the middle of mosquito season.
No, just be down there, nipple fish biting away.
Sure.
We're yelping, jumping out of the water, trying to stay safe and keep floating with the noodle.
Yep.
Whacking at the fish, hoping the water moccasins don't come in there after us. And then I'll just say, lady love, it's time
See,
for you and
I me. I was raised in California. People used to move there to convalesce because we don't have problems like water bugs and mosquitoes. There's things that don't exist in California because of the climate.
You have water bugs in California.
What are you talking about? There is effectively no fauna in California.
Because of the drought, maybe, but like in a healthy climate, yeah.
There is no healthy climate. It's a desert, my friend. It's a desert. Even before they dammed all the rivers, they were seasonal at best. The reason they dammed them was because when sometimes they would flood.
Danged the rivers. I'm sorry.
No. I am.
Mormons, I know, like, I'm the only one that sort of.
Sorry, if you're one of our special Facebook followers listening for the first time, I apologize for my language. It's just that kind of show,
Jeff
everybody.
Jeff dangs the rivers. Anyway.
I sure do. So that's life, and yippee-ki-yay.
But
this weekend I am flying to British Columbia. I will be spending
Jeff,
delightful
the RNC
time.
Was really your life this week.
Yeah, I did watch a fair bit of that.
I have loved... I mean, I want so bad for something big and dramatic to happen. I want so bad for the, who's the independent party? The Johnson crew?
They're not independent. They're libertarian.
Whatever. I want them to make
Johnson
a run for
well.
Stuff. I want it to be a race. And I will commit right now. I would volunteer time to campaigning for a viable third party candidate.
Well,
I do not care their stance.
He's only going to get there if you campaign. So you can't wait till the moment. You got to make the moment. Make the moment, Al.
No, that's not what I believe at all.
Campaign for him. This is what you're going to do. Instead of your little midnight pool run, you know, into the pond, you drive a little bit farther west, you go to some more populated centers, hang out by the McDonald's or the Walmart, spread the good word.
Just be like, "Hey, people, you feel the Johnson?"
Yep.
Just keep saying that.
That's like all you need to say.
I'll just keep mumbling. "Hey, feel the Johnson over here, people. Come talk to me." That's a great idea, Jeff. I like your style.
Anywho. So, Mormons.
I feel like I've had an overabundance of innuendo already in this show.
Well, we're going to keep that going. Let's hope that we can break records.
Okay, yeah,
sure. We've been on a good, it's been a good run the past couple of weeks. I hope we can keep it going. Hope we can last all the way. Hope we can last.
That's what she said. No, I'm sorry. I felt like you were John Krasinski slowballing that up.
I kind of was doing that.
Okay, anyway, let's go.
Speaking of slow pitches, as we mentioned the other week, when I was mad about the Angels, my beloved Angels, representing SoCal suburbia better than any other institution, except perhaps the Mighty Ducks.
Or the Angels. Or, I mean, the Dodgers.
Well, no, the Dodgers actually play in L.A. The Angels, on the other hand, do not. They play in the shadow of Disneyland. The Padres play in downtown San Diego. But nobody really is passionate about the Padres. Anyway, as I discussed, the Angels finally got an apostle to throw out the first pitch at their Mormon night last Friday on the 15th of July.
Was it a strike, like Neil?
Gary E. Stevenson showed up.
Esquire.
His Nikes third. And his track pants, and still wearing a tie and a white shirt and a jersey. He's a lefty as well, which is very impressive. Good for him. The Angels good need a good him. Southpaw. They basically just have Santiago, and that's it. So through the first pitch, I didn't see anything on whether the pitch made it all the way to the plate. He did throw from the mound, though. Very impressive.
He says he practiced with his boys a little bit to get ready. It is an interesting attire choice, though. Are those track pants?
There's some kind of workout pant. Like, if you see the photo of him
maybe
shaking.
They're just sweats or something. He looks very casual, though.
It's confusing because he's wearing sweats, and with the jersey it works, but then you realize under that he's wearing a white shirt and a tie. It's like going to extra lengths to include the white shirt and the tie when the situation doesn't even call for it, but you do it anyway. But so is the other one, the Area Authority 70 who's there with him. I forget his name. He's the one who also goes to Mormon night at the Dodgers. He's on the far right in the picture of him with the kids. Look what he's wearing.
Does Elder Stevenson have a tall daughter? I feel like I should know this. We have to look this up, Jeff. This could be Mormon royalty being wed here.
This is the only requisite at this point now. Is she tall? That's all that matters. She doesn't care about anything else about her.
It's a good icebreaker. You know, a good icebreaker.
Is that your move? You walk up and be like, so I'm an ogre and you're tall.
It absolutely is. What do you think? It's a surprising, like, hey. So, way to be tall. And they're like, normally the short boys say that. And I'm like, come here, you. Come talk to me.
And then what happens, Al? Please continue the story about your conquests. Tell us everything.
No, that never happens.
Okay.
Who am I kidding, Jeff? Thanks for making me feel terrible.
I know a girl who's about 6'2".
Doesn't make it right. I want somebody that loves me for who I am and supports me, you pig.
Okay. Well, that's wishful thinking right there.
Right.
Anyway, he threw out the pitch. The Angels got an apostle. Now they've set a precedent, and they have to get an apostle every year. Though I will say, if Elder Cook offers, let's politely turn him down. Let's see if there's another guy.
Why?
I'm just saying.
What does that mean?
I assume he's a Giants fan. It just wouldn't be right. You can't put the man in Angels garb.
What are you talking about?
We played the Giants in the 2002 World Series and beat them. So come on, we can't do that.
All right, well, this feels offensive at this point, but anyway. So, I've been eating jelly beans. I wanted to take a minute and discuss with you the idea of applause at church. Can we bring this back?
I would, I didn't know it ever went away, but let's bring it back.
What is the history of the no applause at church thing? When did this become a no thing? Because the Brigham Young era, they were clapping.
You think so?
Oh, my gosh. Haven't you ever heard the phrase, it got loud like applause in the tabernacle? Where does that come from? That comes from the Brigham Young.
I've never heard that. Is that a James the Mormon lyric? I've not heard that one.
No, everybody says it. Everybody says it. They're like, you got to get in there. It's getting loud like the tabernacle during Brigham Young.
Sure.
And that's the applause
that
Brigham Young used to offer. He was very loud with his clapping.
So clearly something went off the rails at some point, and we became a quiet and somber people.
Well, it did, right? Like the way it's weird not to clap at the end of stuff. Religious or not, like you can go in a Catholic church. No, that's not true. They do a lot of no clapping.
not true. If you want to get your evangelical on, then sure.
There's lots of clapping there. I'm just saying, if you get up there and you play like this beautiful thing on the piano and you did a great sing-songy thing and all that jazz, and then nothing?
Now, Al, if you want to talk about it as a response to musical numbers, you have to remember, even if in practice they are effectively performances, you have to remember that those performances are forms of worship, and that's why we don't clap. Because just like the hymns, when you have a special musical number, it is regarded as a form of worship, which we treat reverently. It is not supposed to be a spectacle or performance wherein we laud the individual for doing what they do. Instead, it is about the spirit that we feel. I know that in practice, that's not always the case.
I was going to say,
but
you know those people are getting up there and saying, I'm doing this thing, and then just wondering if the people liked it.
Well, it's like bearing your testimony in a singles ward. Are you doing it because you want to bear testimony or because you're trying to
Looked up three words in the dictionary before you got up there.
Yeah.
We know what you're doing.
You're trying to talk up, get your name around the water cooler of the ward. That's what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Make it happen. Worked for me.
Hmm. Now, the... So let's see.
Have you seen my wife? She is way hotter.
If you get up there and do a performance, and it's a consecrated performance to the Lord, the appropriate response, I think, from an audience should still...
But we are not an audience. We are fellow worshipers. See, this is really all about...
No. If we were sing-songing with them, then you shouldn't clap. The other people in the choir do not clap.
Look at it this way. When the Tabernacle Choir tours, for example, applause is totally expected. They will sing hymns and people applaud afterwards because it is not a worship service. It is Tabernacle Choir performing, demonstrating their skills, putting on a great show, and the audience responding in kind because that is the setting. And likewise, I have been to stake Christmas programs, for example, where the stake president said, applause is appropriate even though we're in the chapel because these are performances. We are not worshiping right now. So that's where the line
even,
is
drawn. Even though you are speaking slower, I still understood you even when you were speaking it at normal speed. The worship service and the performance, yes, I'm with you. I'm saying is that even a worship, an offering of worship, If it's a outward showing of worship where you're sing-songing or playing a guitar or blowing on a horn, deserves a little applause. Like, in fact.
But then it makes it about the performer and not about.
Why does that make? Who says applause makes it about the performer?
That's in essence.
Make a joyful noise, Jesus said.
When you applaud,
get all fucking when you like. The Hosanna shout, you're saying we shouldn't shout because that's a form of worship.
Let the guy
awkwardly stand at the pulpit and Hosanna shout and wave his handkerchief. We shouldn't do it because we are fellow worshipers. Bull butter, Jeff. Get that applause out. Get your worship on. Let that be the way wherein you worship.
Now, the whole point of applause is to demonstrate approval.
Or support.
It's generally to demonstrate approval after a performance. That's the general idea behind applause.
Let me share with you a story from Happiness.
Is it about how you live for the applause? Applause.
I mean, just the phrase Happiness Seekers makes me think that it's some weird newlywed Mormon blog.
Al, give me the thing that I love. Turn the lights on. Put your hands up. Make them touch. Make it real loud.
What is that from?
One Lady of the Gaga.
Do you hear she's broke up with her boyfriend? It's over.
Sorry, I missed that important announcement.
It was on the Facebook.
Living under
Anyway, so these people go to church. This girl gets up to sing a song in sacrament meeting. She's got a frog in her throat.
It's a daughter. It's two parents and their daughter. Go up to do it.
Yeah. A mom and a dad and a daughter, and they get up there and the girl can't sing again, and she can't sing again, so they sit down. She's embarrassed. Other talk happens, then they go back up to try one more time, and the daughter sings her song, gets to the end, and what happens, Jeff? Do they approve of her? No, they support and worship with her by doing what?
By saying, great job for doing it right the third time, which you should have done right the first time.
By whispering that while applauding loudly. Absolutely, Jeff.
And how quickly do you think the spirit just vacated the room? probably
not at all.
Instantaneously.
Not at all. I think it stayed there. I think tears were shed. They were expressing their excitement and exuberance that they probably
felt.
You feel the spirit so strong, you just want to applaud. You ever think about that?
They expressed their exuberance for the girl doing a job well done. They were not expressing their exuberance for the atonement.
She's not some monkey to dance for them.
The Savior. They were expressing applause for the monkey who danced for them because she did it. It was like, we did this together, girl. We love you. Great job.
No.
That's why they applauded. They weren't applauding for Jesus.
Jeff, you never wanted to applaud in the middle of a meeting because you were so filled with spirit?
I just want to do it to mix things up.
I'd go with you. You know I would.
Just stand up and do a slow clap after whoever does the latest Kenneth Cope cover for a special musical number. You really need to bring that home.
Which Kenneth Cope song would you like to see covered?
I'm a little rusty. I don't work at Deseret Book anymore. I don't know that I know his catalog well enough.
I get up there and I just sing, and I will win the race. I will fight a good fight.
That's what Kenneth Cope doing nowadays anyway.
I will serve my God with all of my might.
Uh-huh.
I hope that turns into a ringtone at some point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, I mean, I know we're being facetious about this, but I don't know. I'm arguing that we should have applause regularly. You want it regularly in our church services after musical numbers.
I do.
You don't think that would potentially drive away?
And I want the when you do a good rendition of "Spirit of God," I want to clap at the end too. Even after your own singing, you just clap for yourself.
I say we make a few exceptions. All right, "Spirit of God," "Battle Hymn of the Republic."
Yeah, oh yeah.
In our lovely Deseret.
Guide us, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Sure.
Called to Serve.
And I'm forgetting on the name of it, but you know. Da, 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 da.
God of our Fathers.
Thank you, God of our Fathers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like one or two sacrament hymns just to mess with people.
Oh, maybe a Sweet Hour of Prayer. Is that what you're thinking? That sort of thing? Not, or Master the Tempest is Raging. No.
I do not love Master the Tempest is Raging. It's too long.
I will.
Peace. It's so sing-songy. I feel like I'm in an Irish pub.
No, I always do it in like a very dark, imposing manner.
That also sounds very spiritual, Al. You're really bolstering your argument for the applause.
Be still. Uh-huh. It's very commanding.
You should get up when you're touring the world as a high councilman. I think you should get up and sing along like that during that song. Just grab.
I do. Choose my own song. Just grab Praise to the Man. We could clap for Praise to the Man, maybe.
Praise to the Man's a great song.
What a ditty.
What do you, anyway, listeners, what do you think about applause at church? Yay? Nay?
Oh.
Let us know. Contact at thisweekinmormons.com. Go to Facebook. Comment. Blah, 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 blah. We would love to hear from you. Yeehaw. Well, I've got some more updates on the situation in Russia, which is Russia.
This was interesting.
So thank you for friends and listeners for being on point about this. Now, effective now, the anti-terrorism law in Russia has taken effect. So all those rules that restrict freedom of worship and proselyting and all sorts of things, it's all on now. And so we've wondered what this was going to be like. I wanted a real boots on the ground situation. I wanted to understand what was happening. I was able to get a letter from mission president to the mission that the mission president's encouraged to send to family members. I was able to get a copy of one of these from
from missionaries. I got there's a family friend of mine that's serving a mission right now, and he keeps sending these letters home, and it's like he's in Mexico and there's like a drive-by shooting and they murdered their neighbors, and he's like, it was crazy. And then this guy pulls out a gun and kills a dog 20 feet in front of that. I was reminded of, like, do not send this stuff home. You gotta
it's like what you say.
Write this in the journal or record an audio tape, and then do not send that
there home. Are things you don't tell your already concerned parents. Did I tell my mother about when kids would come at us with lead pipes? No, I did not.
Lead pipes?
Yeah.
You served in Clue, the old movie?
Lead pipes, wrenches, and ropes, that's all.
Was Colonel Mustard there?
I will say there were a lot of candlestick makers in the area. What can you do?
Nothing.
Anyway, so to get some updates around what's going down in Russia. So this, of course, is from one mission, but it's probably similar throughout most missions, I would guess, because of the things they have to do. And this was pretty interesting to see some more in-depth analysis and understanding of what is involved now and what who are no longer called missionaries in Russia have to do. They are now to be called volunteers. And that's not just what they're called. It's effectively the actual nature of what they're doing is no longer missionary work. I don't know if this would extend to them receiving a mission call, if they even dare keep calling people to Russia.
Didn't they say they're not even allowed to teach people except for in the church building, right?
Which is what we expected before, but it's still very complicated to even get people in the building. So, for example, the volunteers, as they are now known, you can't, of course, engage in any form of public contacting, street transportation, door knocking, nothing like that. You cannot distribute any religious literature. You are not to offer any form of invitation or engage in any missionary activity. You can still have everyday, normal, secular conversations with Russians, but do not bring up religion.
I would never do that anyway.
You can offer simple responses to questions about what you're doing. And if pressed, you can answer as much as you need to, but you should not get into doctrine or discuss serious church things publicly, even if you're asked. So if someone does want to know more, you have to reiterate that you are a volunteer to help local church members. You are not there as a missionary. You can give out your church building's address, though, and say if you care enough to find out, you can come here and find out. And then at the church building, yeah, there's a little more leeway as far as what you can do. So those are just a few of the things. Obviously, you can still have religious discussions, though, at the homes of members, which is interesting because I thought that was going to be banned. But if there are any non-members there, you cannot. So you can be at a dinner appointment with some active family in your ward and let that be that. But you can't use it as a finding opportunity or anything along those lines. And you're not to solicit opportunities for service from other organizations, at least not for the time being. They're doing a bit of a moratorium on, it seems, any kind of work for at least a couple of weeks. Basically, they're not doing anything.
It would be crazy to be in there right now.
They're doing nothing right now because they don't want to draw any attention to the Mormons in Russia right now. Just let them be.
Jeez.
So my main question from this, Al, and there's no way for us to know this at all, is will this be a status quo that we work around? There are other parts of the world where the term volunteer is used for the missionaries. And will we keep calling volunteers to Russia? Will we just find a way to make it work? Or is this such a pain, and given the scarcity of resources, will we let those who are there serve their time, but then slowly draw back quite a bit, potentially even consolidate missions, or the missions will have far fewer volunteers in them? I'm curious to see what will happen with that, if we'll maintain the levels we have now,
I think a lot of it depends on our ability to continue to grow the church over there. With all these restrictions in place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like if people are like if we're still able to teach and grow, but I mean this may effectively be the government shutting down religion outside religions in Ukraine or in
Russia. In Ukraine, you can still worship freely. Good for you.
Go to Ukraine, people. Not the eastern parts or the southern parts that were invaded by Russia.
Yes.
Just the still free Western parts.
Which we would like to reiterate, the church basically recognizes. Just remember that.
Yep. They gave up. They gave up day one.
Or something like that. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to watch this. Now it's implemented. They only had about until a day or so before the law formally took effect. They wanted everyone to have it sorted out.
I can't imagine being over there right now. It'd be crazy. Like, what do you do for 2 weeks?
Just hang out. I don't know.
Just eating Svitoch and trying to be buddies with
them. I mean, I'm assuming they'll go out, but they're not proselytizing. They're probably not allowed to wear tags.
So I've been in cities where I wasn't allowed to proselyte before, and or I wasn't allowed to approach anybody. And like, we would just sit on like a park bench speaking English obnoxiously or like reading our Book of Mormon
until somebody came up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not even on the table with this anymore, because you would have to get them inside the church building. You can't pull the old, well, they asked me about it. Like on my mission.
We should make a movie about how to do this, because then they'd come and be like, what are you reading? And you just smile slyly at them and then get up and like slowly back towards.
And then beckon them. You just give them the
like
eye.
You could be dropping like a Joseph Smith pamphlet, like breadcrumbs.
You give them the eye and just say, follow me.
Huh?
Follow me.
Get maybe if you gave your companion a recorder and he could play the Pied Piper, just like doodly 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 do, doodly doodly do.
I mean, it really is pretty drastic, because even on my mission, there were a lot of, we had a lot of, especially a lot of Moroccans, decent amount of Algerians.
Yeah, and, Maracas, and, that you'd lure them into buildings with?
Well, we were not allowed to, same thing. We could not approach them because of issues with Islam, but if they came to us, we could do whatever we wanted. So it's just incredible to think about such a step well beyond that. Because I literally, yeah. I do not know what they're going to be doing with their time now. We'll find out.
It's crazy.
Hopefully we'll try to keep a beat on this. I know we're kind of Russophiles here, but deal with it. It's our podcast, not yours.
So a couple of Utah mentions. Jeff equates all things Utah with Mormonity.
Yeah.
I disagree, obviously. Adweek thinks that Utah is going to be the next big tech scene. I disagree.
Okay.
Utah will be any kind of big tech scene. I think Utah has smart people.
I've seen this a lot, though. I've seen a lot of things mentioned that the Silicon Slope.
It has a toxic fundraising environment here. The people are not smart investors in terms of favoring the entrepreneur and helping nurture that, mainly because there's not a good ecosystem for investors to weed out the bad ones, right? There's not like a hierarchy in Utah. The other challenge that Utah has, which is an extreme challenge, is the geographical challenge of from Provo up to Logan, you've got hours and hours. You have 300.
From San Jose to San Francisco, it's still a decent stretch.
No, but it's not a 3 hour stretch. And
it's not three hours from Provo to Ogden, but
okay. To Logan.
Logan?
To Logan.
2.5, yeah.
So you've got like 300,000 students, maybe, between. Well, probably not that many. What do we got? 30,000 at UVU, 30,000 at BYU, say 30,000 at U of U, Weber, and then Utah State. So maybe 150,000 students-ish, which is a good number of them. But like that's a 2.5 hour stretch of real estate, and Salt Lake won't let Provo be it, and Provo won't let Salt Lake, and then Ogden's up there trying to do their thing, and then you've got Logan still, and then Lehigh and everywhere in the middle, and people say maybe at the point of the mountain. There's too much. Too much need for everyone else to be the successor.
So you think if it were more localized, then it would be more.
Yeah, if it weren't in a big corridor either. If there was stuff like if Tooele actually mattered.
If anyone in Utah lived to the east or west of the front instead of just
That's right. But instead, it's just one big long geographic strip.
But Denver's very similar in that sense too. I mean, Denver's got a good. I mean, I know Boulder's a little farther up, but for the most part, the Front Range people live. North, south. Denver does spread out a little bit more because of the plains, but it's a similar idea. I mean, it's just kind of...
Well, they do, but I would contest that Denver is not a tech hub that Boulder is.
I know, but I'm rounding up.
And you drive to Boulder and everybody's sort of, agreeing that, all right, it's in Boulder. I mean, Denver's got some cool stuff going on too, but it's, they're paying a lot of money to get people there.
So should Provo be good, the tech hub then? Is that what we're
good
saying?
Good try. I like that you found a few companies from Utah that are doing interesting things. There's a lot of smart people and good companies out here.
Sure.
It will not be the next big tech scene.
All right. Fair enough. What's your other Utah story?
Also, apparently somebody loves fry sauce, as does Jeff. Good work.
Whatever. Another Utah one, a poll carried out by Utah Policy says that overwhelmingly...
Is that a place? Is that a thing?
Overwhelmingly, Utahns say LDS church leaders should not endorse political candidates. So that's good to know. By a very, very large amount. 90% of Utahns and 92% of faithful Utah Mormons do not want church leaders to endorse political candidates. And which is good because they're not going to do that anytime soon.
Yeah, thankfully we don't endorse church or political candidates.
Though, of course, we did decry some of the racism of Donald Trump earlier in the year, but that was a bit of a different situation.
That was an accident. We meant to support it, and we decried it, and it was like, hey, people, just do what you want.
Would that not be the weirdest if all of a sudden the Mormon newsroom put out a thing that said, an official statement from the First Presidency and Quorum of the 12...
Thomas S. Monson has considered the options out there and has decided...
that Gary Johnson best represents the values of Mormonism. You must all vote for Gary Johnson.
Ugh.
You just said you wanted to volunteer for the guy. Now you're saying, ugh.
No, I just don't want my church telling me how to vote. I want my principles and values to tell me how to vote.
Another quick mention, the Meridian Idaho Temple, everybody. God, it's Angel Moroni.
We got him.
God, it's Angel Moroni. Of interesting note, though, just so you know, you recall when the Bountiful Temple had its Moroni blown to bits a few months ago in a, from a lightning
storm. By lightning, yeah. Blown to bits is a little extreme.
I'm going to choose to get hyperbolic on this one. So the Moroni that replaced the damaged Moroni was actually the one originally slated to go atop the Meridian Idaho Temple.
Whoa.
So now Meridian's basically the one getting a true replacement, unless Meridian is getting like the Star Valley, Wyoming, Moroni.
Like, and then where does it stop? It's like a ridiculous Russian doll situation.
This just keeps like, going forever.
Open this one, and then there's another, and still, and you tell one lie, and it leads to another.
Exactly.
That is true.
That's lovely. Also, Al. I don't know how I feel about this. Mixed feelings completely.
I like that we have just a bunch of dumb Utah mentions.
We saw an ad. Here's this one's Mormon. LDS Business College put a Facebook ad up that said, Do you know any return to missionaries? Tag them in the comments or share this post and they can save over $750. Why? Because returned missionaries receive half off their first semester at LDS Business College. Which is
great. Every school you've gone to that isn't in Scotland has offered this.
I do not remember. Did I get an RM discount at BYU?
Yeah, BYU has a return missionary scholarship. BYU Hawaii has a return missionary scholarship. BYU Idaho has a return missionary scholarship. Why is this news, Pumpkin?
It's not crazy news, but it makes you scratch your head. You say, wait.
I noticed that I started calling people Pumpkin and Barbie after watching Scrubs. I've taken on a bit of Dr. Cox.
Are you on a Scrubs thing right now?
I'm on a Scrubs thing.
Oh, it's the best show.
I've never seen it. I'm in season 2.
Oh, 2 and 3 are very, very good.
I've heard.
Very, very good. Very good things all around. I endorse this heartily. It's not a major thing, but I guess since last week we spoke a little bit about the stigma of people who elect not to serve a mission, even if they're active and everything like that. It paints an interesting picture of saying, hey, because you went on a mission, you get a financial advantage.
Hey, because you spent 2 years doing something really hard, we think that qualifies you for this thing that says, I want to try and award people that do hard things.
Yeah, but you see how it's kind of like dangling a financial carrot. Hey, serve your mission and you can get money off.
Jeff, have you ever heard of a scholarship? You know what these are, right?
You get that. You earn them.
That's right.
I don't feel that my mission, which was service, should be...
If you spent 2 years like doing service, you don't think that would entitle you to some scholarship?
I'm not supposed to be entitled. I'm not supposed to be entitled to anything. I'm rendering service. The whole point of it is that I'm just out there to serve. I'm not worried about getting some kind of remuneration because of it.
I hereby promise you that nobody said, I don't know, maybe I'll give 2 years of my life so I can save $750 at the LDS Business College.
They said, I'm going to spend 10 grand on a mission so I can save $750.
Yeah, that's definitely not the equation. I think it's a fine gesture of people saying, hey, that's actually really hard to do, and we think that it makes you a great candidate to be at our school. We want to attract those kind of people. I would be surprised if they didn't have something that's equally sort of service-oriented for people that spent a year in the Peace Corps, did something other service-y like that. I appreciate that you're trying to make this into a story, but it's just
it's the
not.
Scandal of the year.
Speaking of scandals of the year, refugees got afloat at the Days of 47 parade. First question, what is a Days of 47 parade? I don't know.
Yes, you do. You
this
live
appears
in Utah,
to be some pioneering thing that people love.
Okay,
out here
okay,
in Utah.
Let's get real. You know what the Days of 47 parade is, right?
Also, then there was a parade, and then there are refugees that are in this parade.
You're
so
gonna
good.
Are you gonna be in Utah during the on Monday?
On Monday, no.
Well, you're gonna miss the Days of 47 parade.
I think I've missed it almost every year.
Yeah, I've never seen it either. But, you know, it's a big deal in Utah. Days of 47 is a large celebration. It's pretty cool they are letting the refugees have a float.
What do you mean they're letting the refugees?
They are allowing
anybody with a float can go in this thing.
I'm just saying they allowed the refugees to sing at the women's conference. They have to allow things. It's cool, though. Mm. I mean, it's a good thing. Utah's going to get all refugee happy. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, good for them. Way to go, Utah.
Yeah, they are they're doing okay. Al, Bryce Harper's engaged again.
What? That hair gets more and more ridiculous.
I know, look at his pictures.
Dude, that hair is out of control. What is he doing?
He's just being a cool guy. His fiance definitely not into the honor code. I understand she left BYU for OSU, and
it
is
clear.
What
do you mean she's not into the honor
code?
How do you say
that? The skin, she is porn. She, her body has become pornography.
Dude, that actually made me cringe a little bit as you said that. I know you're joking, but like that's a weird thing to say.
Becoming pornography. I'm just quoting an apostle. So, if you think the words of Dallin A. Chokes are weird, then I guess that's yours to sort out.
I guess it is.
But
no, the
anyway, especially that second Instagram photo.
I love it.
If his hair is
allowable, then so is her dress.
Anywho, it's the same fiance from before. They were supposed to get married in January of 2015 to Kayla Varner in San Diego Temple, and then it didn't happen. But apparently, it's back on. They're gonna make it
rain.
What
was his ESPY award that he got?
Best hair.
Was it?
No, I don't know what he won.
Whatever, Jeff. You're of no value.
Bryce Harper. What, you think I'm gonna follow the team where I live? Bryce Harper won MLB player. That's what he won.
What a throwaway award. They gave out 200 of those.
So I'm excited to follow the romance of Bryce Harper. He better not tease us again, though, and call it off. I mean, come on.
All right, let's talk Trump for a minute, shall we?
We have to.
So a lady wrote a letter to Donald Trump, an open letter, I'm assuming, to Donald Trump saying, hey, we used to have a governor that hated us because we were Mormons. Then we had you who hates Muslims because they're Muslim.
Right.
It's not cool, man. Be chill. So that's an interesting letter. There's also Senator Hatch.
That was the whole thing, huh?
Yeah, that's more or less. So the Utah delegate at the Republican National Convention was leading the charge of calling for a voice roll call.
Right.
They're trying to get people to let them vote. Let the delegates vote their conscience and not what their
Well, they were bound. They're bound to the vote. They wanted to be unbound.
Yeah, they wanted to be unbound. They wanted to just be able to vote for whoever they wanted, and which would have really made it interesting down the road. I mean, right now it's very predictable. Okay, we went through and voted and everything's good. Now it'd be like, hey, we're nominating delegates and those guys are wildfire. Could do anything. But they had a big loud moment in the beginning. The guy like walked off the stage, would not hear their vote, even though the yays and nays were equally loud. He's like, oh, yays have it. See you later, guys. Just kind of drama. And then Senator Hatch said, hey, you guys are an embarrassment to Utah politics. Get out of here. And everybody's like, who do you think you are? Pretty dramatic, Jeff. Did you see it?
Yeah, it was amazing. No, it would have been cool.
I'm glad you're here with me.
Barely here with you. I wish it would have gone down just to really just shake things up.
I did too, man. I wanted something great out of that.
Get Romney in there.
Did he go to the convention?
I don't think so. I think he's holding fast and true.
Him and Flake
and Kasich are just playing golf together and shaking their head at Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan that guy got on board, huh?
He was in a difficult position because he's Speaker of the House, and so it's his job to call for the actual voting for the to officially nominate the candidate. And he has to certify all that stuff as Speaker of the House. So it's far more difficult when you're Speaker to decide to just, you know, jump ship. Difficult situation. So yeah. Here's an interesting poll. Our good friend Jana Reese published an article called Mormon Women Fear Eternal Polygamy. Study shows. Oh, yes. They fear it. So long story short, there's an author, Carolyn Peterson, wrote a book called The Ghost of Eternal Polygamy, all about fearing polygamy. And according to the study, 85% of respondents,
men and women,
are find extreme pain and difficulty. Here's the problem, though. We don't know a lot about the survey. We know the survey had 8,000 responses, but it was a snowball survey. And a snowball survey is...
Oh, share it out survey?
Snowball survey is a share it out. So you're going to get massive sampling bias, typically, in a situation like this. It's like when you do a survey about, you know, you want to talk about John DeLynn being excommunicated, and the survey makes all the rounds in ex-Mormon and Mormon story circles, and everybody, you know, you're not going to get a clear sample that way. So it's difficult to, I guess I'm disappointed that Jana Reese would write this much about it, because I think the survey itself might not be completely sound. That's not to say women wouldn't be uncomfortable with eternal polygamy or something like that. But I think for the most part, most people don't really think about it.
Well, they don't. But like, if you asked me, are you cool with sharing your wife when you get to heaven? I'd be like, no, not cool. Not yet. I just got a one wife.
Yeah. So I completely get it, and it could be legit, but I would like to see the survey sampling methodology, like any good bit of academia, just to give it a little more credence if it deserves that credence. I want to see the survey. Show me.
Show us the survey.
Show me the stinking survey.
Start that. But it makes sense in terms of, like, it's a weird thing to think about, that our church still has a polygamy doctrine embedded in it somewhere.
Because
we get really comfortable not talking about it, not thinking about it.
I agree with that. We're good at ignoring it. I don't know. It's weird. And I'm not in that position. I mean, as a man, this is definitely one of those areas where, you know, the word patriarchy can get thrown around a lot more liberally, because we are not the ones in the eternities who would be sharing in that sense.
And why is that? Why not just, if you're God, and I think he is God, why not make an equal number of men and women? Huh?
Also a fair question. I don't have an answer.
It's not a poop shoot up there. He could make that decision.
Just to completely regulate the procreation of mankind.
Yeah.
So that it's just dead even all the time.
All right, we got a couple of these we're going to throw at you. Sure. A Mormon family lives on a boat. The guy grew up in New Zealand, loved boating, got married to a woman in Idaho and said, we're moving to a boat. She said, I'm cool with that. It's essentially the trailer of the seas. So he moves her into a trailer boat, quote unquote, and they sail around. The children are marrying these vagrants, sort of pirates and other people that live on boats. Do not do this with your family. It looks really good. It's great pictures. They're sailors. Look, Bob, they're sailing. A huge mistake. This guy has ruined his family and destroyed everything in its wake.
Couple of quick mentions. Great article on LDS.org, actually, published by the church, called We Are Not God's Only People.
Advice. There was a contraction there. It's We Aren't
God's Only People. I'm sorry. We Aren't God's Only People, from Samuel B. Hislop. And it's, to sum it up, it's interesting, too, because he actually served his mission in clearly the Donetsk mission, Al. Talks about his time.
If only he would have been worthy sexually, he could have gone to Kyiv.
talks about his time in Makivka and stuff. But anyway, getting into this, he frames it from the point of a missionary. When it's very easy as a missionary, when you see the traditions of other religions, to sort of roll your eyes and be like, oh, like how often, I served in a Catholic country, how often did I hear all about the great and abominable church amongst fellow missionaries? You just throw stuff like that around, even joking.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah. So,
not your father.
I was a little confused, actually, for a second. I had to get to McConkie. I had to get there. I'm like, I don't think my dad had
thank you, Bruce. Those
kinds of comments.
A-hole.
But then it's cool the church published this, because then he just says, hey, you know, we kind of cultivate holy envy, in a sense, and we should look at other faiths and realize that while we believe we have the fullness of the gospel, we are not God's only people, and other religions are also doing good, useful things that we can learn from, which is common sense, but it's great.
We've talked about that a few times, of like how liberating it is to get past the idea that this life is just a competition of whose church is the rightest, right? Like how good it feels to be like, hey, you found a church that's doing good for you? Well, that's great, man. If you ever come to a point where you're looking for what our church has, like, I'd love to talk, but like, I'm just going to be happy for you.
Yeah. So it's cool stuff there. It's a worth a read. He gives three different examples from religions of things that he has learned along those lines. Also, Daniel Peterson wants us all to fast for Turkey, the attempted coup over the weekend.
Oh, sorry. I had to get to the coup. I was mistaken.
No, well, we can make jokes, too, about fasting in Turkey if you want. Anyway, just that.
That coup was a little bit. That coup was crazy from a nationalism standpoint. Jeff, do you see anything interesting here?
I see.
Master of nationalism.
I see many, many interesting things going on here. Erdogan is amassing greater power, purging everyone in his way. Now it almost seems like the whole thing was a convenient excuse to shore up more of his power base.
And now, can the Western folk, can we continue to trust him as an ally? Or
well,
is
what's really
Turkey
what's
no longer on the table?
No, Turkey's an ally. What's important to note is that Turkey's a member of NATO. Turkey's been in NATO for 50 years. Very long time.
So as he's purging his political enemies, is there anything in NATO that should come in and say, hey, there's a civil war going on here, we need to protect
Well, there's
this?
Not a civil war in that sense. I mean, it's... but Secretary John Kerry did...
Well, when the SS attacks, there's not a civil war. They're just purging people.
Right. But they're not gassing people or anything like that. But they are rounding up political opponents and incarcerating them, which is certainly a concern. Secretary Kerry did say... sort of reminded Turkey that, hey, being part of NATO, there is a democracy clause there. Like, to be a member of NATO, it's in the provisions of joining. So let's not forget that there, buddy. Okay? Thanks a lot. Anyway, and because of that, though, there is a Central Asian mission now, Central Eurasian mission, headquartered in Istanbul. We have missionaries in Turkey now. And so,
the CAM, yeah, we call it the CAM.
So pray for him, everybody.
You don't have to pray for him. You should. I mean,
fast for Turkey. Like,
yeah, fast for Turkey. Berlin got the great concert from the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and the Motab loves to toot their own horn. That's a joke about.
I see what you did there, and see, I bet people clapped for that.
There was after the singing, they noted the Battle of Jericho, the Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, an audible whoa, and then applause for a number of minutes. Again, reinforcing, I believe, that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir was not performing. They were worshiping in that moment, and they were happy to get the support from their fellow worshipers.
They were performing, and the Berliners felt no spirit because of it. No spirit.
They also sang, God be with you till we meet again, in German, which, as we all know, that famous piece goes, the Gott sei mir heil.
Speaking Hebrew there, buddy?
I just needed a little guttural something in my German. I just went for it.
Oh, okay.
I don't mean to break this to you, everybody. I don't speak actual German. This feels weird.
He speaks the Ukrainian version of German.
Speak Russian and French.
Yeah. Lastly, everybody, the church is building a meeting house in Chicago, which apparently is the first meeting house in genuine downtown Chicago. We've never had one.
Not the first meeting house in Chicago.
No, of course not.
Even though the church thinks it is the first meeting house in Chicago.
In downtown Chicago.
This is a 7-story complex. What are they doing in this thing?
They do what they do in all these big city ones. They make themselves known.
Will they rent out office space and stuff?
No.
7-story chapel?
It'll be a stake center, and it will be awesome.
All right. Well, good for them. $10 million on the Lakeshore LDS Meeting House.
Yep. Burr. So, congratulations, Chicago. Not a lot of Mormons in Chicago, but we are making ourselves known.
Rahm Emanuel, we're coming for you, buddy.
Hey, folks, if you'd be so kind, join us on social media, huh? Hang out, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Join us for these conversations throughout the week, but, you know, when we're not podcasting to you, when we just want
at the end of that, if you're still feeling so kind, email us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com or visit us at thisweekinmormons.com.
And that's going to be it, everybody. Al, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Much love to all of you folks. Thanks for listening to TWIM. Have a great week. Bye-bye.